you're the first cider maker I've been able to speak to. Mm. So that's really...
There's not that many.
I know. How many are there? Like three or four?
Yes. I think there's Giel here in Amsterdam. That's myself. Then there's Uwe, Betere Cider. And then there's somebody called Bloss. That's about it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, there's smaller stuff going on.
Where's that located?
Near Lelystad in the polder. Yeah.
All right. And you mentioned the one you...
He's in the Betuwe.
I didn't hear anything back from them. So, I was sending out on contact forms and trying Facebook. And, we connect one way or the other. So I'm so thankful for this opportunity because I'm really excited to hear about cider in the Netherlands.
Yeah. And it's always good for me to touch base with people from abroad because I get new ideas and I get better understanding of, what's happening there.
What's happening? Yeah. I think we're at an epic moment for cider in the world because there's such an interest.
Right.
And certainly the gluten-free folks are moving that forward. But also people are just experiencing cider because maybe it's more accessible and its time has come and perhaps craft beer. I don't know. But people are ready for it. And
I hope in the Netherlands too because it's still very small here. Eh?
What is cider making for you, like at different cideries, and I'm not sure if that's what you call it. Would you call it a cider house? I mean, are you primarily making it at a site or at your home?
I have a site.
You have a site?
Yeah.
And do you have your own orchard?
No.
Okay.
So I buy apples.
You buy apples from local farmers, or are you bringing in from far away?
Well, the issue is, let me speak a little bit about how this came to be.
Please.
We have a family house in Overijssel, which is near the German border.
Can you spell that for me?
The place is called Beerze, and that's where the name came from. So it's Bwerze, which is a very small village, rural village. We have some apple trees there, and I was always wondering what to do with those apples. And I've been traveling a lot in my life, and I came to, the U.S. or the U.K., and always thought, what a wonderful thing is that they have ciders here, and why don't we have them, why don't we make them in the Netherlands?
Mm-hmm.
So I started experimenting a little bit with how that's done, so I did a little bit of research on the internet, and then I found out that you have to press the apples, and then there's many different ways that you can proceed from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long ago was that?
That's 2012.
2012.
Yeah.
So this is a new endeavor. Wow.
And the thing is that I saw that in the Netherlands there's not a lot of cider drinkers.
And, yet.
There's some cider drinkers, but then they drink imported cider.
Right.
So there's two things they drink, either imported cider, which comes from Normandy or from the UK, a little bit from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the guys like Wouter and Raoul Michals, who also started recently, come in. So they import the cider.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see any locally made ciders.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, why not? Because Netherlands is a very good country for apple growers. We grow a lot of apples, so we eat a lot of apples, but we don't make any ciders.
Mm-hmm.
And soon I found out that the issue is that we don't grow any cider apples. And of course, because we don't have a cider history.
Goedemiddag.
Goedemiddag. I would love to try this, actually. This is a cider maker from the Netherlands. Do you carry beer cider?
No, not really beer cider, unfortunately.
Well, this is cider. It's just called beer because it's from the town of beer. And this is the cider maker. He's one of your few cider makers in the Netherlands.
Really?
So he's like a celebrity. So
you need a glass, right?
Yes, that would be great.
And I'll have some water.
Water
in a glass,
yeah,
and then I'll follow up later. But if we could just, I'm interviewing him right now for on radio.
We'll be fine, yeah, no problem.
Perfect.
Yeah. Where was I? Actually, we don't grow cider apples, so there's almost no one that's growing cider apples.
Yeah.
So I started making cider with this, just the dessert apples, which we have in abundance.
And what would those varieties be?
Goudrenet, Elstar, Santanas.
Santanas, yeah.
This is quite local, I found.
Those are unusual apples for me.
Yeah, exactly. So what I found out is that every country has its own varieties, almost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you go over to Germany, it will be different. If you go over to Austria, it will be different. So we have thousands of apple varieties in the world. It's crazy. These are all ciders or apples that are acidic and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start fermenting those, then the acidity levels will remain and the sweetness will go down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bitterness.
So you're not getting a lot from the,
No tannins.
The skin of the apple where the tannins come from.
Also the other cider makers, with the exceptions of Uwe, because he has planted some cider trees, they make ciders from these local dessert apples.
Mm.
And they're quite acidic. Now most people don't like that. So then I thought, well, how changes, and I started investigating into the cider apples, and I buy some cider apples from the UK.
Pouring Leonard's beer cider right here. It's in a nice little screw top bottle with a beautiful beer holding an apple, which is so cute, with two little stars on it. It's a happy bear. And very light yellow hue to it. And you open it, you can really smell the apple coming out immediately. Prost.
Prost.
Mm. Very drinkable cider, really nice and easy drinking.
Yeah.
Kind of what you expect. It's like 5.3% alcohol, which is nice and low. It's not going to, you're going to be able to have more than one.
All right.
And enjoy the day. Yeah. And has a really nice apple flavor to it. Just that nice balance. Boy, from 2012 to 2015, you've done a lot in 3 years. You were saying you're the importing apples from the
yeah,
UK.
So to get a little bit of the tartness in and the tannins, then I buy some cider apples in the UK.
Wow, that's a long way to ship them.
Yeah, but there's no alternative. So that's a little bit the problem that we have because the market is not developed. So if you have a developed cider market, of course, you have also people that grow cider apples. I thought about growing them myself, but then because I'm such a young activity, the issue, of course, is will this pick up? So this was a little bit uncertain.
I think.
And if you grow cider apples, then it takes like a year, 4 years, 5 years perhaps to get a good crop. And afterwards, it starts developing. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so that's a long way out still for a market that's not there.
Hmm.
So this is a little bit my struggle with the cider apple.
How much are you producing per year?
Producing, last year I've produced 350 hectoliters.
Just for the Netherlands?
Yeah, but I haven't sold it all yet.
I saw it at Citizen M.
Yeah.
At Schiphol Airport, and I was like, oh, there's beer cider. I'm so
excited. They have it there? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I sell through distributors, I'm not aware of where it's going.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, I know, of course, of some places, but not all of them.
You import these apples, or you're importing the juice?
Yeah, I buy the apples. I have them pressed in Hertfordshire, so it's...
town or
it's
a...
It's the region where they grow a lot of cider apples.
Oh, in the UK. Okay, got it.
And then I bring the juice to the Netherlands because I don't want to use concentrate. So I have to rely on fresh juice. So
yeah, fresh. Well, I'd call sweet cider. And then once it's fermented, I consider it cider. That's what we would follow in the U.S.
Yeah, you call it hard cider, right?
No, well, some people do,
okay.
Because I think it's still trying to find its way, what it wants to be called, I guess.
Yeah.
We're on this beginnings of an amazing, I think, roller coaster ride, but going up the hill.
So that's what I'm hoping that will happen here. So it's a little bit of a gamble.
Yes.
I feel that more and more people are picking it up and understanding it and are getting an interest in it. So I think the market is developing, but it's really coming from close to zero.
All good ideas begin
that's
on that blank page.
That's what I thought too, and I thought, you know the story about the shoe manufacturer that sends off two salespeople or two market research people to Africa, and the one comes back and he says, well, we're not going to sell any shoes there because people walk barefooted, and the other one says, well, there's a huge market because they all still walk barefooted. So you can take two directions in this too.
It's true.
So I'm quite certain that this will happen, but
yes,
the pace and the time it will take are still a little bit uncertain.
Well, there's a lot of curiosity. Folks in the U.S. are really excited to hear about what's happening in the Netherlands because you're such amazing growers here.
Yeah.
And you have a perfect climate for growing.
Yeah, so the climate for apples is perfect.
Yeah, it's exciting time. So you bring that juice over, and what is your production setup like for fermenting? Are you doing it in a big vat, big stainless steel, and where did you get that equipment? So I guess it's really like two questions there.
No, I do it in IBCs. IBC is a 1,000-liter vessel. Which
is that how it gets shipped over in the IBC?
Right.
Well, that's convenient, isn't it?
Well, it's not ideal because it's not conical. I have one conical shaped vessel. For the rest, it's not ideal because, of course, it's square. You want the leaves to go.
But you don't pour it out of there. You're fermenting it directly in that.
Yeah.
That. Okay.
So I fermented pear variety. And then I blend it after. How do you call this? Pump it over a couple of times. Rack it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or siphon it over to get it to be clear.
Yeah.
Now, you're not adding any sugar or anything to it?
No.
This is just purely the juice and the yeast.
Yeah.
And you're choosing a specific yeast to work with this.
Yeah.
And did you do a lot of experimentations on your yeast?
I used, in prior years, I used different yeasts. Then I picked out two that I use now.
That you like.
Yeah.
And those yeasts, where do you get yeast around here? I mean, if people who want to make cider, like yourself, did you have to like import that yeast?
I buy it in Germany.
In Germany?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it like a liquid yeast?
It's
dry yeast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I rehydrate it.
And increase the volume.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
This is the harvest season, so they're probably pressing apples now for you to be ready.
Yeah,
so
I'm
busy.
I'm visiting growers and still not decided where to press this year because there's different pressers. And of course, because that's the other challenge here is that people don't know cider, they are not willing to pay a lot of money for it. So it's a challenge to keep the price at a reasonable level.
Right, because it's so much work.
And if they know cider, most people that know cider, they know it from Heineken, which Heineken makes Jills.
Right. Strongbow.
Strongbow is like cider made from concentrate.
Yes.
Jills is more like alcoholic lemonade. Can't call it cider.
Right.
They call it cider. So they're sort of screwing the market a little bit because people think, oh, cider, it's like Jills. Then you have to explain, no, you can also have real cider, which is made from apple juice, and is a challenge.
It's a challenge, but that happened with the craft beer too,
because
you had the big giant.
But then at least people knew what beer was. I mean, can you imagine that people don't know what cider is? You have to explain them.
Yes, but the great thing about the Dutch that I found is that they aren't insular, although it might seem that once you're with your fellow countrymen and women, but my experience is that they are world travelers. They go out into the world and
they see
stuff. And so I think you have that going for you.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah. And then in Amsterdam, the scene is a little bit, and Rotterdam also, because it's more urban, the scene is a little bit easier because there's lots of young people, mm-hmm. and there's a big craft beer scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then people who have started drinking craft beer tend to also, you know, want to try different things, because that's mm-hmm. really, if you're into craft beer, you're always looking for the next new thing.
That's right.
So this sort of then, you know, slots in a little bit with that mm-hmm. trend that people mm-hmm. want to try them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, are you making one style? Is this what you have?
Yeah. This is the main product, and then I have I make some smaller batches.
Mm.
Because this I don't bottle it myself. I have it bottled somewhere else. Because I don't have a bottling line. Before I bottled everything myself, but this is so much work to do it by hand, mm-hmm. bottle by bottle mm-hmm. by bottle by mm-hmm. bottle. I have small batches. For instance, I've made a batch of cider which was on rum casks.
A barrel that held rum. Okay,
yeah, held rum. I bought some barrels from Martinique.
Oh, okay,
and then
great.
I put some cider in. And then I kept it for 8 months, and then you know I had like 400 liters.
That's nice. How did that sell?
Well, that's just finished. I bottled that last, and this I bottle myself because mm-hmm. it's still you know acceptable.
Are you corking that or are you?
I'm putting a screw cap on.
A screw cap. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And is that the same size? This is like a maybe.
It's 50 centiliters.
It's 50 centiliters. Yeah. This is like a 12-ounce, I believe, size.
I don't know how that's translated.
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of looking at the size. It looks like a 12-ounce bottle, not 16 ounces. So the cast, the we would call like the barrel-aged cider
barrel
that we're making.
Age, yes.
Yes, that would be the term that we would use it.
Yeah, yeah.
And people love seeing that on labels.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
warm and cozy.
It on,
you know, it's like what's that term in Dutch?
Gezellig.
Yes. Whiskey barrel age, very popular.
Yeah.
So is that in a larger bottle?
That's a little bit larger.
Larger.
So
okay.
this is 33, and this 50.
Okay.
And then I have 75.
Okay.
Which is the classical wine.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Bottle.
Well, lovely.
And the 75 has a cork.
Hmm. Okay.
And a wire cage.
And is that also barrel aged?
No.
No, that's.
No,
what,
and
so
I
what
have
would
one,
that be?
One other that, which is just starting to develop, and that is I put elderflower. It gives a perfume, of course.
Really nice perfume. In this site that you're producing this, are you doing it all alone?
I have a little bit of help, but most of it I do myself. Yeah.
Imagine. There we go. Do you do anything on draft?
No, this will I will do next year as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you see
this
in the future?
This
draft
is certainly
is
a development. Yeah.
Okay.
Because yeah.
then that opens up a local palate. They see that there and they get to try that. It's a whole different ballgame.
I've talked to a lot of cafe owners,
mm-hmm.
and they're certainly interested to get it on draft. And again, this is the most of them. Also have lots of different beers,
mm-hmm.
so again the craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
If they have that on draft, there's many pubs here that have like 20 or 30 different taps.
Sure. Yeah, lines.
And then they'd like to have one,
cider.
Or two, or three ciders.
Ciders,
yeah.
And they're probably just importing ciders.
Yeah.
Not that we don't love the imported UK ciders or wherever,
but it's nice to have some Dutch ones as well.
Terroir. People come to the Netherlands, they want to have...
Exactly, that's what I thought.
What would you pair this with food-wise?
Shellfish.
Shellfish,
yeah.
Which are fantastic in the Netherlands, like some oysters and some of the mussels.
Yeah, mussels and soft cheese.
And soft cheese, what kind of soft cheese?
The French cheese.
The French cheese, the brie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I deliver to some restaurants and they specially put it on the menu for this reason.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
And I'm talking to some people that make sausages, pork sausages,
mm-hmm.
and they want to do tastings as well with the cider.
Mm-hmm.
So you get local sausages with local cider.
If someone came to the Netherlands and there's probably no tours at your site, right?
No.
You're just doing what you need to
do.
Yeah,
and it's not that interesting most of the year.
At this point, yeah,
no.
Yeah, right. So if they wanted to find out where to find beer cider, you know, somebody like myself, what would you recommend for somebody, a cider aficionado who is on the hunt for...
Well, I have put some addresses on my site. Mm-hmm. So it's beercider.nl.
.nl, yes.
But then, as you found out yourself, there's different places that I don't know about.
Yeah, yeah. I say keep asking for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was also wondering about KLM, which is, you know, that major Dutch airlines.
Right.
And kept on asking Delta Airlines, do you have cider? But since they're in concert together, I think KLM would be perfect to be able to offer something like this. Would be a perfect drink on international flights.
Yeah, especially flights to the U.S., I think.
Yes, yes. Or flights coming over from the U.S.
Or coming over
from
the U.S.
Right, right. Although I wonder, is...
Well, that's the issue, issue.
Yeah, tell me about that. When we're talking about the name here.
And I think that's also because that Shelton, what did they...
Shelton Brothers,
what
yes.
they told me is that if they would be importing this into the U.S., I would need to change the name because this is too confusing for the customers. Now, of course...
Well, so is ginger beer.
Yeah,
so is ginger beer. That's pretty confusing, too.
Yeah, but then they say the authorities won't allow it. Because when I started this, of course, the thing was... The house we have, it has an armor shield, a shield in beers. This bear here is on that shield.
It's a shield, yeah.
And then the town is called Beers, that comes from the word bear.
Right.
So it was obvious to call it that way.
Beers, yeah.
Now, so I'm a little bit reluctant to change that name.
Could you just add on ZE?
I could, yeah.
And that would be even more truer to where it came from.
Yeah.
And in many ways, it might actually help here in the Netherlands, too. I like the label, but, you know, that's a nice way to stay true to it. And I can't imagine that they would change
it. I'd be thinking about doing that because it's many people will come to me and say, hey, beer, what a strange color. Or they say...
they expect beer, something different there.
Is it half beer, half cider? So they expect something with beer.
Yeah.
I'm doing something with beer as well because I have a collaboration with a local brewery.
Mm.
And I've delivered the cider and they are hopping it.
Oh, okay.
So, which is very nice. So this will come out as well. I can't let you taste it because it needs to be bottled as well.
Okay.
But then again...
So what is happening there with this brewery?
Making it, they're hopping it.
Putting hops in it. Okay,
right. Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of hops that they're using?
Wheat. They're making wheat. What's the name again?
Hops.
I can find out.
Yeah, because that's kind of exciting news. You know, the other thing about putting the ZE at the end is that it really looks European then.
Yeah.
And this is
more than
this is more almost like a UK kind of label.
Why is that? Because it says beer.
Beer, which is very English.
Okay.
And the ZE, it's a little bit more enticing because you're like, ooh, you know, I'm drinking an import. How exciting!
Okay.
And you wouldn't know that until you started. Oh, Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And how is that pronounced? Just beers.
Beerze.
Beerze.
Yeah.
So you kind of drag out that E and pronounce it as an A. And
Beerzen.
Yeah. E in Dutch is pronounced as A, and A is pronounced as E.
Right. It's quite confusing, huh?
It is, but that's why these kind of conversations really help quite a bit.
Cascade, but I'm not certain.
Who's the brewery that you're working with?
It's at Aaltje.
Can you spell that for me?
Aaltje.
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 Aaltje. Okay. And are they?
They're in Harlem.
Oh, in Harlem. Okay.
It's all close by. Here.
Yeah,
it's,
Harlem is just to the west of Amsterdam. I've been to the lovely town.
You've been there?
Oh, yes, many
it's
times.
It's a nice town.
Well, not many times probably like you, but more than once or twice.
Yeah.
They're just primarily working with your cider and just adding
we'll,
the hops.
Yeah. We're making a half cider, half beer.
Hop cider, hop beer.
Half cider,
oh,
half beer.
Oh, half cider, half beer. Okay,
yeah.
And blending that.
I think it's they've done some research into it. They think it's never been done before, but I'm not certain.
Mm.
It was supposed to be bottled Monday, but it was somehow it didn't work out on the line. So I think it's bottled next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is that going out on draft?
That's going off partly on draft. Yeah.
Partly on draft.
Yeah,
great.
Because they have the facilities too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to just be regionally
up
here.
Yeah.
Wherever their accounts are, they'll go out with that special.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the brewery scene is that this is quite a renowned craft brewer. Once they make something, mm-hmm. it's already sold because everybody wants to try it.
Yeah. Oh, how exciting!
Yeah.
Is this what you do full time? Is this it?
Well, it takes a lot of time already. So
sure it does.
I've made a career in consulting, so I'm really like more like a management consultant.
Okay.
So this was a new venue for me, but I thought it's so nice to do, and it gives so lots of energy and enthusiasm
mm-hmm.
with everybody. So
mm-hmm.
I thought, why not try to make this a little bit bigger? And now I'm spending a lot of time on it. It's not full time, but near.
Yeah.
Well, but it goes. It's off and on, because now it's like full time because it's a lot of work to get the right apples and the right
mm-hmm,
to get it pressed,
mm-hmm.
to get it in, and then to ferment it, and then so in January, February it should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
End of February, then beginning of March it's bottled,
mm-hmm.
and then I get it back. And then it's quieter.
Yeah, it's seasonal. It's not like beer where you keep on getting
it's one batch.
Yeah.
And then I can I keep something separate to make the specialties, as I call them.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's not that much work anymore. So
mm-hmm.
the work is more in
mm-hmm.
getting it sold. And
mm-hmm. So you're just conditioning it in the barrels.
Yeah.
You've made your primary your beer cider as it is, and then move into the barrels, and then you do your different types of flavor profiles that you want there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ultimately, of course, what I wanted to do is get a more professional setup.
Yeah.
Then I need to know that, because that's
it's
a bigger
be worth
investment.
The investment, yeah. And how about just getting some farmers to start planting some cider apples?
Yeah, I would like that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that market might soon be coming in that way, especially with the miniature apple trees instead of the larger apple trees. And of course, really you can make cider out of any apple, but whether it's palatable is something
that
you want.
That's the thing, and that's also I think for many people it's the threshold to start making cider, or real cider as they call it, is that
mm-hmm.
It's difficult to get the cider apples.
Yeah.
Because I have to do a lot of work to get, of course,
the
right contacts in the UK, then
and their demand's probably pretty high
over
there too.
And a lot of growers have contracted their crop out.
Hmm.
Yeah, so what happens is that they grow their apples, but then all their apples go to Thatcher's or to
mm-hmm.
The big cideries. Yeah. There's different varieties there that so you have to experiment a little bit with that as well. Eh? It's not easy because there's lots of people that you have to explain.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, cider, is that like apple juice? And then, it's like fermented apple juice. And then there's lots of people that don't like it because they have never drunk it.
Yeah.
You have to get a little bit used to drinking it before you can really appreciate it.
Right. And I think what you're going to see is that this would be like the introductory cider.
Yeah.
And then putting just hops in your cider without beer is something that is happening in the U.S.
Yeah.
There's no beer involved at all. And I have found that cider is the most, well, it's the easiest libation to make because it's not hot.
Yeah.
And you know, you make it in your refrigerator every time you forget a bottle of sweet cider is fermented. Whether I'd want to drink that is another piece there. But I've thrown bananas in it. I've thrown ginger in it. Anything.
Yeah, that's what I see in the U.S. That everybody, there's lots of variety.
Sky's the limit. I've had cayenne, which is a hot cider. Cider made with pomegranate juice. Are there old orchards that are left foul?
Yes, but again, these are dessert apples.
Dessert apples, yeah.
So, well, some dessert apples you can perfectly use. Yeah, I mean, I use dessert apples as well, but to get a real cider, at least my opinion is you need some cider apples.
Yeah,
you need a little bit of tartness, a little bit of tannins. This is hard to come by. But it's I think it will pick up. It certainly will pick up. And the nice thing, what you just talked about, the get-together is...
Yes.
I see that not happening here yet. Although, like Wouter and all, they've organized a cider day.
Yeah.
But then it's more to present, like, to the public the ciders that they import.
They're importing, yeah.
So it's there's some cider makers, but they're not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to Frankfurt in Germany to a cider concours.
And
that was really very nice because there's people all over from Europe coming there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going end of October to Asturias, which is the same thing. So that's in Spain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
So I'm picking up on the
momentum,
the things that are abroad, and then I come back to the Netherlands, and then in Frankfurt I won a what they call a medal.
Oh, bravo!
Very nice. Yeah.
Yes.
So and then I come back, and then. The press picks that up a little bit because they think, oh, something is happening. It's special.
It is special.
And of course, the press needs to play a role as well in this, development.
They do.
People need to read about it, hear about it, people speak about it, and then we'll get it going.
So what turned you on to cider? How did you...
Well, I think it's such a beautiful product because... I like apples, that's what we have in common, I guess. And then it's pure, it's natural. If you just press your apples and you leave it like it, and it'll become cider. So it's a fully natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's healthy because it's gluten-free, it has low calories, it has no additives. It's good to drink.
Do you remember the first cider that you drank? Was it?
This must have been in the UK, but then I wasn't turned on immediately because that was like what I call a factory cider.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was quite a. It was okay, but it was. I don't know what it was, but it probably was quite sweet, as you have them.
Yes. But that's kind of like often a stepping stone for people.
Yeah.
So somehow you were willing to try another cider.
Yeah.
Was that being interested in it and saying, hey, you got to try it?
Yeah, and then it's something different from beer, and then you can choose. And then I started to think, well, why not, try this out and do something with it. Mm-hmm. And then relatively easy to do, eh?
Doing it consistently and... Of course, a lot of people make cider at home, and it's, like homebrew, it's not so easy.
It's how it turns out, there's a lot of chance in it. So the thing is, and that's also why I went to Peter Mitchell to find out, how, because I was in a class with people that...
So you took Peter Mitchell's course?
Yeah, I took his course.
Okay.
And I was in a class with the people from InBev from Thatcher's and it's crazy. They still go there.
Was that in like 2011?
That's 2 years ago, I think.
In 2012 you went in.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because of course InBev, as Leonard's mentioning, is the owners of Budweiser.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And then they started making Cidre.
Cidre.
You know the brand.
InBev started making it.
Yeah, they started. Stella.
Yeah, Stella Artois. Yeah.
That's an InBev brand,
mm-hmm.
or ABBev it's called, I think.
Right,
that's the,
right.
The mother company.
Yes.
And they launched a cider brand. It's called Cidre, like in the French name.
Like the French name, yes.
I think they sell it in the UK or in the US too, eh?
I don't know if I've seen that.
And they started selling it here. 2 years ago or a year ago. And then it hits immediately the supermarkets because,
yeah.
of course, they have the distribution there. And
yeah.
But it's slow.
Yeah,
That too is slow because people just don't know it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to change.
Yeah.
That's going to change.
But I think it's enormous fun to do it, to make it. If you get the fermentation going and... you see all the bubbles and
smelling
and
it.
The smell and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
how that develops over time.
Yeah.
Still a natural product.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then after the fermentation, it's always, you start tasting it and then, no, it needs to be a little bit longer and then
mm-hmm,
or you need
mm-hmm.
to, the blending that you can do, it's a journey.
Yes, it is a journey.
It's nice to make.
Nice to make. And are you racking this over? How many times do you rack it over
I
when
think
you're
this,
making it?
This has been racked three times.
Three
I think.
Times. Mm-hmm.
But you see, it's still cloudy, eh?
Yeah, a little bit of cloudiness.
There's still.
Yeah. People. What kind of temperature are you?
Well, I do it in the winter, so it's but it's
okay.
It's not. This one, I think, could have been colder.
Yeah. Because that will definitely impact your.
That will impact
yeah,
the clear.
Yeah.
The clear,
yeah.
Clarity.
Yeah, yeah, and you want to, you know, I prefer not to have it filtered myself if I was
yeah.
going to be drinking it. And some, you know, places, not cider houses that I know, but like a centrifuge
yeah.
to drop off
yeah.
the.
I know. Yeah.
Breweries do that.
Yeah, but people did, have the
forgiving
the association yeah. that this is an artisanal product.
Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
So it's okay because
yeah.
they also see
yeah.
the beers that
mm-hmm.
are a little bit cloudy, and then they, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is okay.
So when you're tasting your cider, what are you hoping that people are getting out of it? What are you looking for when you're tasting it?
I'm looking for. I try to get it balanced
mm-hmm.
because in the cider you always have this. You have the sweet, you have the acidic,
mm-hmm.
you have the bitter.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, I think, to get it a little bit even.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's neither one does too much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
And most of the ciders that are factory produced, I think, are way too sweet. I might make it a little bit, just a pinch sweeter,
mm-hmm.
just to get it going.
Get it going on the palate or in the...
In the market.
In the market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've noticed that many people think it's too acidic.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I would say in the U.S. that they wouldn't find that too acidic because this would be, you know, some of the ciders that I have tonight, one in particular I think is more acidic than this.
Yeah.
And so this would be kind of standard in that way.
Okay. I started out with a cider that was much more acidic than this one.
Yeah.
And there were very few people that liked it.
Mm.
Very.
Did you like it?
No.
Yeah, okay. So,
no, I mean,
so you're the marker.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
This is, for me, it's an exploration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you can, if you have enough people that want to drink it, you can make
yeah.
different flavors. And
absolutely.
You can make it sweeter or less sweet. Or
right.
I want to make, this winter, I want to make an iced cider as well.
Mm, okay, yeah.
I'm looking for somewhere to put one of the tanks in the freezer. And then I'll get it back and see what that does.
Yeah, yeah, that'd
be
exciting.
That's fun to do, eh?
That is lots of fun to do, absolutely, yeah.
This is Leonard Koningswijk from Beer Cider. Beer Cider is being made in beers, hence the name, which is Dutch for bear, actually. And this is Cider Chat.